I'm going to adapt a story that I heard a while back from a fellow named Max Lucado, but I'm going to adapt this. I'm going to create a whole new story around it and within it, and so we'll, in this way, may help us on our journey when it comes to being in bold accord as a people and in our lives and families. So there was one thing that these sailors could agree on, and it was this, that the ship, if it weren't for the shipbuilder's love, they would never have known the love and the beauty of a life of a sailor. And the shipbuilder's love created this majestic and yet simple, powerful and yet modest, and beautiful and yet perfectly functioning vessel that only the shipbuilder could build. And so all the sailors on board the ship in the harbor, ready to set sail, except that one thing that happened before they set sail is that they were tempted and chose to strike out on their home, to build their own personal boats. Call them jet skis, if you will, only without the jets. And so they went out in their own personal boats all around the harbor. And as they did, their sense of gratitude went to forgetfulness, their sense of connection to isolation, of peace to turmoil. And the captain, standing on the bridge, looking out over the waters, felt a deep sigh and sadness in his heart. And it was not only that there was one sailor out buzzing around on his own personal boat, but all of them were out around on their own personal boats, and they would run into each other, they would crash, and they would compete for the best boats, the best beaches, and just the best waterways that they could find. And so they often were opposed to each other. Or even if they cooperated, they still were in their own boats, turning left and right, creating massive wakes for each other, and causing a sense of disarray for each one and for all. And much, much time had passed. And the sailors could agree on one thing, that if it weren't for the captain, they never would have survived. A storm came ravaging over the waters and came quickly, and all of the boats were thrashed. The decks were awash, and the sailors floundering in the waters. But as quickly as the storm came, the captain came navigating between the waves to pick up sailors and quickly brought them all to an island, those he could save and those who reached out for help. And he left them on the island with these instructions. He said, "You stay here. There are still others out of the waters that I must go and rescue. Make friends with the natives. And build fire with the trees on the island to keep you warm and to serve as a beacon for all those who need the safety of my rescue and our embrace. And so the sailors were only happy to oblige and set about the task. And time went on and on and on. And their gratitude turned to forgetfulness. Their connection turned to isolation. And their peace to turmoil. And their own solo personal boat ways came insipidly into their lives again. And so they were asking themselves these questions and wondering. You see, because there was a time when this argument came, and they don't know exactly when it happened, but they only knew that it was about the captain's instructions. Some of them said, "The captain surely said that we were to build fires with trees only." And others said, "Surely the captain said mostly trees." And conversation turned to opinion, opinion to discussion. Discussion led to debate, and debate led to division. And then instead of one large fire, it became two. The trees only camp, and the trees mostly camp. And there was peace for a short time. But then the solo personal boat ways of their character and selves came to the fore again. And those in the trees only camp began to grumble and to talk among themselves. And one said, standing next to elm trees, "I like the elm trees. They're my favorite. And we should only use elm trees for our fire." "And this will be my baby. If you want to come join me to make elm tree fires, you can come and join, but this is mine." And another said, "No, surely. Surely it was oak trees. There were many oak trees on the island. Surely it is the oak trees only that we were to use in making the fire." And a third said, "The cypress trees are my favorite. And I will come and build a cypress fire, and you may come and join me. I will pick you out, and I'll pick out those I want to join me in making the cypress fire, and the others I will say that you cannot join me because this is my baby." And conversation led to opinion. Opinion led to discussion. And discussion led to debate. And debate led to division. And where there was only one trees only camp, there now were three. The elm-only camp, the cypress-only camp, and the oak tree-only camp. And things didn't fare much better on the southern part of the island, where the trees mostly camp kept its fire. Only their conflict and arguments and disunity was not about the contents of the fire, but the height of the fire. And conversation led to opinion. Opinion led to discussion. Discussion led to dispute. Dispute led to great differences. And these differences led to debate, and the debate led to division. And where there was only one trees mostly fire, now there were three. And soon there were many small fires freckled all over the island. Their solo boat, personal boat, building ways, their independence from the shipbuilder and captain had brought about this way. And the ship captain, from the bridge of the ship, looking over on the highland, seeing all of the small fires, sighed deeply, feeling sad. Now, if this story weren't so true, this would be really a bizarre story, wouldn't you say? Except that it is. For those who have visited and been part of a Christian faith community, or even of a church, you see the personal, small boat, individual jet ski phenomenon going on. And John's gospel, Jesus is praying to the Father before he dies. And he says, "Father, as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be one." So that they may believe that you sent me. Now, do we believe? And what about the peoples outside in the community? When will they believe? When will the world believe that Jesus was sent by God to the earth? Will it be when we have established a beautiful building? Will it be when our sermons are eloquent? Will it be when our sound system is great? Surely that's going to help. It will. Will it be when our music is pretty? Or is there some other way it comes about? So what does Paul say? What does Paul say in this morning's passage about how we come to this place where the world will believe that Jesus came to the earth, even through us? In this morning's passage in chapter 14, verse 13, or rather not in verse 13, is it says that just as Jesus accepted you, so you should accept one another. Just as Christ has accepted you, so should you accept one another. And so Paul is saying, accept. Jesus has accepted you. Do you believe that? Do you know that? That warts and all, messes and all, that Jesus has accepted you. And that there's nothing you can do to make your lives more pretty that causes Jesus to accept you, because it's already been done. Faith isn't spelled D-O. what you and I do, but rather Dio and he, what he's done for us. And so this phrase, accept your acceptance, Paul Tillich, theologian of days ago, he often used this phrase, accept your acceptance. But it comes right here in this morning's passage. And in the sermon notes page, it says chapter 14, verse 13, but that's not correct. And it's in here. I don't know exactly where. I don't have it right in front of me. But it's in the chapter 14 or 15. Here it is. Chapter 15, verse 7. Accept one another, then, just as Christ has accepted you. And so we can't accept one another if we've not accepted our acceptance. Does that make sense? And let's try that again. So in fact, it's a lot harder to accept one another if we've not accepted our own acceptance. And yes, you may say that many years ago I was baptized, maybe even by that at that font right there. And so yes, surely I've accepted, or I accept my acceptance, because I've said yes so many years ago. But we're talking about more than that. Paul is talking about more than that. He's talking about, you know, baptism means to be soaked. And he's talking about being soaked with this acceptance. To let it come through every pore of your being, through every mess of your lives. Nothing accepted. Accept our acceptance. And then the second is, earlier on in chapter 14, verse 8, says, so whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. We belong. You belong to the Lord. You're his. And you're not your own, but his. Every aspect of your life is his. He's the leader. Who's the leader of your family? Think about that for a moment. Who is the leader of your family? Some of us may say, well, it's, you know, we have in mind, we've got somebody pictured, it's, you know, it's husband, or maybe it's assertive mom, or maybe it's the teenager. There was a surveyor called on the telephone, and he said, you know, ma'am, I have a great offer for you. Are you willing to accept it? And the woman said, well, the one who makes decisions in our house isn't home yet. And he said, so when will he be home? Well, actually, she'll be home in a little while from kindergarten. You can talk to her then. Who's the leader of your family? If it isn't Jesus, explore and ask yourself and each other and accept, keep on accepting God's leadership. And then in verse 7, accept one another. You could only do this if you've done that first one, accepting our acceptance. If you haven't done that, you're toast. You're not going to be able to get this one done. You're not going to be able to fully accept another unless you know you've been accepted. There's no other way. Even the sailors and those personal craft who come to the ship and are rescued by the captain, their own personal boatness ways come back. Only in accepting our acceptance can we accept one another in every way, lavishly loving the other. Now, in our mindset in the West, we think accept one another. What do you think of? Don't we think of someone that we have a hard time accepting? Might be somebody in your family. Might be somebody else. But you think of that person who's a troubled person in your mind, and you go, if I can only fix that person, everything would be all right. Or even Okay, that's who we're talking about. And that's what we think in our Western world often. But the people of this Bible in the Eastern Palestinian world here, when they say accept one another, they're not talking about having the parts come together into one group like we often do here. But they're talking about a group that is made of many parts. And so their first thought is not about the personal craft, it's about the ship. And even they had difficulty. So accepting one another is about the group, about embracing everyone and embracing the body of Christ here as the body of God. Did you know that you're the body of God? Did you know that as you walk around on the sidewalks and as you go to work or as you garden in your yard, that you are the body of God? And so accept one another. Jesus says the body cannot be divided one against another. A strong man coming in can't tie up part of it and the other be united and it cannot stand, but be united, accepting one another. And last, it says, accept the one, this is the beginning of chapter 14, verse 1. Accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. And so accepting the opinions of others, let's keep, the main thing is to keep the main thing, all right? And let everything else be things that you can hear the other's opinion on and to talk about and to accept, to acknowledge, to affirm, and to learn from. So the shipbuilder and captain, they love you. They love you. They love you. They love us. And they are determined, ever determined, that we be one with them and with each other. And the day is coming because of their determination and because of the power of the Spirit, the day is coming when we will have the joy of being one. When everyone can see us and believe that Jesus was sent to the earth. And it isn't a faraway day, because God is bringing it about. And our commitment, just in saying we want to be growing in accepting one another, we want to be growing in accepting God's leadership, we want to be growing in accepting one another, we want to be growing in accepting the opinions of others. Even that step, God could use to his glory, that when people look at us, they'll believe that he was sent. And his prayer to us is, God, Heavenly Father, you are in me and I am in you. Give them the power. Open their hearts, their minds, their whole being. Open their church building to my power. Open their homes, their lives, their way to my power, that they may be one. And that when they see them, they'll see us. And be one forevermore.